sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here with the Bumblebee, Becky Ivins.
I am wearing yellow and black today.
You are yellow and black attack.
Yeah, for sure. Good morning, everybody. It's an exciting day for our family. We have we have dance recitals.
Oh.
We've got offers going back and forth.
Who's dancing?
Oh, my gosh. Almost everybody. We've got Anya Hathaway dancing.
Uh-huh.
We've got Liam Hathaway dancing. And we've got Hannah Hathaway dancing. And we've got Alec Hathaway reluctantly in the audience. he'll be doing flips up and down the aisle because he's a gymnast instead of a dancer.
Oh, but that's
fun. The day of the Belmont Stakes, right?
Oh, is it? Okay.
5:41 this afternoon. And then tonight, if you haven't got your ticket yet, you might not be able to get one. But the Oklahoma Senior Follies presentation is tonight at Mitchell Hall in on the UCO campus. And that's at 7 o'clock tonight and at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Is Jim Ivins singing?
That's the only reason I would go, right? No, they've got really good directors this year. It's going to be a very fun show.
It's going to be a great show. So hopefully this morning we have a great show for you. If you want to call in and participate in the show this morning, you can call in at 405-840-1000, 405-840-1000. Our special guest is Dean Riddell of SWBC Mortgage.
NMLS number 196-895.
Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Mark and Becky. How are you?
We're doing really well today. And we're talking about today is home buyer myths, things that home buyers think is true, but they're really not true.
Yep.
And I'm just going to start you off. You always have to have 20% down to buy a house.
That is inaccurate. And great subject. Had a young buyer with that same question earlier this week that says, I'm not ready to buy. I don't have 20% down. So, you know, that's where you get into what's your mission, what's your plan. An FHA, 3.5% down. If you served our country, 0% down. Your conventional financing is 5% down. There's down payment assistance programs. So the logic, and I think in the old days, you know, the 20% down was the mindset. But today, you don't have to put 20% down to purchase a home. She was finding her data online, so she was picking up a source somewhere online that led her to believe, you know, I can't buy a home today. I don't have 20% down.
You know, it's an amazing thing in our culture that, you know, think back to the day of my childhood where all the knowledge banks was we had a Encyclopedia Britannica set sitting on the shelves, and if we needed to know something, we'd go there and look at it.
How old are you, and how rich were you to have an Encyclopedia Britannica at home?
We had the full, like it came once a month.
Even the Z?
We had the Z. We had the once a month.
I remember that.
Yeah. I remember when they would come to the house once a month, and you learn about whatever the letter Q was that month. But with the internet, it seems like there's so much misinformation out there that what seems to be like that you have all this information at your fingertips, there's more confusion than ever.
And Mark, you know, it's a sore spot with me a little bit when I teach some CE classes. Technology is great. You know, you use it to run your business, and I do too. I mean, we got to have it. But when you get into the specifics of buying a home or selling or real estate, my gosh, guys, it doesn't have all the answers. And that's where you got to have the trusted source to say, this is my mission, this is my plan, what do? I.e. the 20% down conventional.
Right.
Or my mom and dad said stay away from PMI because it's a terrible, you know, high and big number. Well, that has shifted. So sitting down with people and getting away from the online to apply life, real life, I mean, that's where you come out ahead.
Well, and on the PMI, mm-hmm. private mortgage insurance, mm-hmm. on a conventional loan, you have to, if you don't put 20% down,
right,
typically that's the magic number of down payment, and then you don't have to pay for private mortgage insurance. Let's define what private mortgage insurance is. It's basically an insurance policy that the consumer, the borrower, pays the premium for to insure the lender that the borrower is going to pay for the loan.
Right.
Right?
It protects us.
Yeah.
So, you know, if a consumer is putting, and people don't, well, I'll go there in a minute, but if you're putting 5% down, you're going to have PMI mortgage insurance, private mortgage insurance, that is going to protect the lender in the event of default 1, 2, 5, 10 years down the road. Okay. That PMI will last typically if the buyer does not pay anything additional principal along the way, that PMI will be in place for about 10 years until it reaches the magical 78%, of which is when it falls off. Because that's another misconception out there, is people think that PMI falls off at 80%, 80% of the lesser of the appraised value or purchase price. But at 80%, they can request that PMI be canceled by paying for an appraisal and for the servicer to say yes or no, or they wait till 78% and it falls off naturally.
Okay, now that's on a conventional
loan.
And so, about what determines the rate of private mortgage insurance? It's a monthly charge. And what determines how much it is? Isn't it the more down payment you put down, the less the monthly premium is?
Down payment and credit score, you're two predominant. And what has changed drastically, Becky, in yours and Mark and my career, is in the old days, and I want to say 5, 6, 7 years ago back, it was more of a formula. One size fits all with 5% down. This is what your MI is going to be. Today, it has gone heavy, high credit score. Your PMI is not going to be a big number.
Right. And, you know, it was like a factor. You just used this factor and everybody paid about the same. And that has been several years ago. But now, the better your credit score, the lower your premium. It's kind of like house insurance is like that too. The better your credit score, the lower your house insurance premium.
Let me give you an example. And this is back when what you and I, it's funny because the kids that I finance, they'll say, Mom and Dad said stay away from PMI. Well, that was probably accurate back when Mom and Dad financed their home.
Right.
Okay. So if I put in a $300,000 purchase price, 5% down, which is the minimum, and I plug in a 660 credit score, that PMI is what you and I recall, and it's $276 a month.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Now, I'm going to change that 760 to a 760.
Okay.
Okay, which is great credit, guys. That PMI is $69 a month.
Instead of 270?
Instead of 276.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Awesome.
So you have the buyers who say, I've got 20% I can put down. I really don't want to, Dean. Well, now you can make some business decisions on your budget and say, I could put 5% down. I could put 10% down. My PMI is only going to be $69 a month.
Wow, that's a huge change.
I mean, it is, guys. I mean, it's a huge change.
Okay. How about on the private mortgage insurance? VA loans don't have insurance,
right,
because
right,
a lot of people get confused on VA loans. It's a VA guaranteed loan. That doesn't mean that the VA guarantees you're going to get
right,
the loan. You still have to qualify for the loan.
Right.
You would be surprised how many people believe that. It's like, well, no, I'm going to get a VA loan. My dad told me I could use his VA loan.
Right.
We're going to delve a little bit more into the VA when we come back.
We're right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. If you want to join the conversation today, the number to call in is 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000. Our special guest is Dean Riddell with SWBC Mortgage.
Well, Dean, you're our trusted source of knowing exactly what happens, and we've talked about the conventional loans and the you really do not have to put 20% down
right
in order to get a good payment, because if you have a good credit score, the private mortgage insurance is a very low number. Now, on VA, let's bust a couple myths on VA loans. First of all, when your grandpa says you can use my VA loan, I never used it. Can you do that?
No, but that question comes up.
It does come up.
It does come
right?
up.
Because
mm-hmm.
they think that they can mm-hmm. let, that's mortgage.
My dad, my granddad, or yeah, what
that
can
is
I
a
do?
Federal mortgage fraud.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yeah.
that's a big deal. You
it
could
is.
You could be found guilty on 37 counts.
I'm not touching that statement
yeah,
with a
right, right. 34 counts, I guess it was, right? But you cannot use someone else's VA loan,
right.
except is there an instance that someone other than a veteran can use a VA loan?
You know, you can on the spousal, and that comes up about every 2 years where it challenges me to go back and double-check myself to make sure nothing else has changed, but on a survivor spouse situation.
Yeah, when, yeah, the widow or widower,
or the widower yeah.
of the military veteran. Member mm-hmm. is can take up that eligibility
right.
for a VA loan.
Correct.
Now, it's a VA guaranteed loan, so are you guaranteed to be able to get a veteran loan if you're a veteran?
That question comes up too. You know, it's a VA guaranteed loan, Dean. I'm sure I'm guaranteed to get that financing. But guys, it doesn't work that way because credit's credit, debt ratio is debt ratio, money's money. It is insured, guaranteed by the government. Absolutely.
It guarantees the lender.
Right.
Against your default.
Good point.
It doesn't guarantee you anything.
Right.
It guarantees your lender against default, which means you don't have to pay mortgage insurance.
Right.
And you still can borrow 100% of the loan. Okay, here's another, I think it's a myth, okay? You can buy a VA home loan. It doesn't cost you any money
right.
to purchase VA.
Becky, I've had that conversation 100 times in my career where I will be speaking to a guy or a lady on the phone with respect to what are you going to do for money to close. Well, Dean, I'm doing a VA loan. I don't need any money. And I always peel it back and say there's two components to buying a house, and you know, money-wise, which is A, down payment, and B, closing costs and prepaids. If you're using a VA loan, you've killed option A. There's no down payment. That's the, you know, unless you want to, then option B is closing costs and prepaids. So those exist regardless of what loan type you're financing, you're using. It's just a matter of are you going to pay them or are you going to negotiate those at the time of purchase.
Okay, here's another statement. How about the seller, if the seller agrees to sell the house on a VA loan, the seller is required to pay all the cost.
Not required to.
Okay.
Yeah, not required to. But that's where you get into, you know, when I'm on the air with you, I really beat this dead horse, is that I get people to the office. We get into the woods. What do you want to accomplish? Do you need to negotiate that the seller pay costs? Because if so, I'm letting Mark know, hey, Mark, when you write that offer, their focus is they want to bring no money to closing. And that helps. Because one size doesn't fit all for every consumer that's out there. Some have money, some don't want to spend it. Some have money and want to use a chunk of it. And it's getting into the woods with the math, with the PMI, with what's your objective?
Well, here's another one. Uncle Fred says that he will give me a gift
mm-hmm.
to purchase, to pay for my down payment
mm-hmm.
or to pay for my closing cost.
Mm-hmm.
Can Uncle Fred do that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Uncles can do it?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Wait, we've really been hard on Uncle Fred's on the show before.
So with Susie's my one that I beat up on all the time.
Oh, okay.
I always say Susie.
So with gift money
mm-hmm.
to use for the VA, does it have to be a family member or can it be a good friend?
No. You know, Mark, it's lightened up a little bit on that. You can go with a good friend, but we, the lender, we've got to delve into that relationship, as in, Tell me about that good. And when I say that, we got to document it. We got to say, hey, we went to grade school together. Our parents, I mean, we got to paint that picture that this good friend relationship is more than just an acquaintance. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the biggest thing you're looking for is that it is a gift, not a loan.
Absolutely.
Isn't that correct? Yeah. Isn't that the big bugaboo?
Mm-hmm. And even on the conventional side, gift side, lending has changed, 48 times in the last 48 years, but gift money is the same today as it was 48 years ago, which is, it's got to be a gift form, the sign that says, it's a Fannie Mae document that says, this is a gift, it's not a loan, it doesn't have to be paid back.
Right.
One. Two, I've got to show the $10,000 gift, let's say, that left whoever was gifting the money, that I got to show they had before they gifted it to their son.
So you may have to ask for bank statements.
And Becky, that's usually the one, and it's generational.
They get surprised with that question.
They don't want to give over their bank statements.
They don't want to give it up. But if you're dealing with a lender who's transparent, and I've talked to many grandmas in my career, and I will tell the granddaughter, have your grandmother call me. Grandmother will call me, and she'll say, I don't want you to see where I'm spending my money. And I'll go, we don't care where you're spending your money. We got to make sure you had $10,001 of viable money in your account before you gifted your granddaughter 10.
Right.
We're not looking to see, did you go to Starbucks? What casino you're going to? That's not even our scope. Our scope is, did you have $10,000? I'm going to go back to Mark's comment on loan. $10,001 of viable money before you gifted it to granddaughter. Because if we go through that bank statement of grandma and she has a $10,001 in that account, but $5,000 was a deposit last month, Guess what, guys? We're going to say, where'd that $5,000 come from grandma? Well, it was a loan. I got it from the bank. I, in turn, was gifting it to my daughter. Well, the source of down payment is not a gift anymore, guys. It's a loan. It's
connected to a loan.
Yeah. So, but I have those conversations with grandmas, and I'll say, pick an account that you have little activity. An old savings account that you don't touch and use. Use that. Make that your vehicle and get the money out of that account. We're not seeing much activity in that account. I told the story, guys. I mean, I had that guy two years ago that had $39,000 cash in his freezer. and that was his source of down payment in his eyes.
No. I'm afraid I'd be rummaging through that freezer looking for ice cream or anything else I could find.
But, gift money is easy.
Yeah.
Gift money is easy.
Okay. So you can move in with a VA loan for zero down. Mm-hmm. Now, the old saying used to be $1. You can move into a VA for $1. And it's always been zero.
Right.
If you get someone else to pay your closing costs.
But let's go back to what you just said, though. No money down can be accomplished. No money out of pocket can be accomplished on a VA loan. But you can't do it without A, negotiating that the seller pay your costs, or B, if they're not paying your costs, you can still use gift to accomplish your goal of not having any of your money out of pocket at closing.
And how about C, down payment assistance?
Yeah, and so use that as a twist. On a VA loan, Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency, we use that program all the time, Becky, that provides 3.5% assistance.
Which pretty much pays your closing cost on most houses.
So, but some lenders define that as 3.5% down payment assistance. And it's not. It's 3.5% assistance. So if you've got a veteran buying a $200,000 house, first-time buyer, $200,000 times 3.5%, $7,000. They don't have to. You're not negotiating the seller to pay any of the costs because they can use their VA, no money down. Part two is they're going to use it down payment or the 3.5% OFA assistance to cover their closing costs and prepays. It's a home run.
OHFA, O-H-F-A, stands for Oklahoma Housing Finance Agency. Okay. Another myth is that you need to hold off on buying a house until the prices come down.
Oh, Becky, I struggle with that. And I've got, you know, a fun story. I had a girl that we closed her second house last week. And I could repeat this scenario, and you guys can too. But she said, Dean, 10 years ago, and she's 33, 34 years old. 10 years ago, I decided to buy a house. First-time buyer, 23 years old. It was, I had to redo my budget back then because things were tight. I spent $150,000 on a house 10 years ago. So you and I talk about creating asset, creating wealth,
right,
in what we do. She said, yep, it was tight on myself a little bit, but I'm now buying house number two 10 years later. I walked away with $200,000.
There you go.
From the sale of my home 10 years later.
Right.
And here's a young lady that's 33, 34 years old, guys, that has money put away. I had the same conversation with her. Let's don't use it all. Let's find that sweet spot where you can manage to your monthly payment, have down payment, but yet hang on to money.
Yeah, and everyone's goals are a little bit different, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the myths surrounding first-time and repeat homebuyers.
Right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guest, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage.
Okay, Dean, are you ready for it?
Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 405-728-3700. That's 405-728-3700.
Okay, our word of the day today is myth. What's a myth, Dean?
You know, that's short and sweet for me. I can handle that one. It says a widely held but false belief or idea.
Okay.
And you can apply that to what we do every day because there's people that don't understand.
Right. And so we're busting myths today, uh-huh, for home buyers, because a lot of home buyers believe things that are really not true.
Correct.
One of the things that we need to talk about is it's too big of a risk to purchase a home right now with the interest rates, mm-hmm, being kind of high.
Right.
And interest rates are, what, 7.25%?
Right.
Okay, so it's just too big of a risk. Let's just wait till the interest rates come down.
Yeah, and that's my concern, is that you guys, we have short memory, or people do, and what we experienced in 20 and 21 when it was a bidding war environment, that's my concern for the people who are, I'm going to wait today, I can't afford to buy when rates are at 7%, is that they may not have the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in cash to get into a bidding war with other buyers if they're going to wait for those rates to drop. And so to me, it's and Becky, it's taken me, you know, for 30-plus years, I've never said this until the last 2.5 years, is when I finance a home, I've always said, do it right, put it to bed, and we're done. Whereas today, my mindset is, because of the rate movement 2.5 years ago when it doubled, is get into your home today. Should rates fall, let's readdress it and refinance and line up what you need to do.
Right, but doesn't it cost a lot to refinance?
Yeah, I mean, it's a $3,500, $3,600 number, closing cost-wise.
Can you include that in your loan?
Yeah, 99% of the people that I finance, I'll always say it's up to you, and 99% roll it into their loan amount on their new loan.
Okay, so it really doesn't have to cost you out of pocket to refinance. Say, if the rates drop to, how much do the rates have to drop before it really makes sense? If, say, you get a 7.25%, if it drops to 6.75%, do you refinance?
No.
Probably not.
Probably not.
It doesn't make financial sense.
But it gets back to what I said earlier. Not everyone fits the same bucket. So if you got a loan amount of $125,000,
right,
and your rate 7.25% and it falls to 5.5%, we all think, well, that's a big number. Well, but if your denominator is $125,000, your payment may move $60.
And if it's $400,000 that you own your house,
absolutely.
Even if it's a 1% reduction, absolutely. that usually makes sense.
And that 1% comment I've heard forever, and you have too in your career. Some people have said 1%, don't do anything unless it drops 1%. I'll say stop. Maybe you got 28 years left and your rate's fallen 3/4, but you could go to a 15-year.
Right.
Well, you think that doesn't make sense?
Is it always better? And this is another myth. Are you ready? It's always better to finance for a shorter period of time, like a 15-year mortgage instead of a 30-year mortgage.
Well, your interest savings on that 15-year, yeah, that's a big number. I use the word discipline every day with clients, and that's a big old 8, 9, 10-letter word, discipline. It's okay to do a 30-year term because then you can control your own destiny. You can pay that thing off in 15 on your own. Use the bad example of COVID that we had. And I believe that discipline comment forever. But through COVID, when people were losing their jobs, couldn't work, what have you, praise God they had done a 30-year term, not a 15-year term, because I think a lot of people would have been in trouble. But discipline's a big old word, Becky, that it, you can control your interest savings. You can control a lot by sending additional principal to reduce that term.
You know, I taught the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace mm-hmm. University course for many years. And the thing that Dave Ramsey teaches and a lot of other, wealth management people teach this too, to if you owe on anything, owe on your house. Mm-hmm. But if you're paying 9.9% interest on your vehicle, mm-hmm. why are you doubling up on your mm-hmm. house payments? Mm-hmm. Pay your vehicle off first and get rid of that payment.
I totally agree.
And the thing is, the only interest right now that you can deduct pretty much is your the home. Interest on your house.
Totally agree. So, and I've had 2 or 3 calls in the last 3 weeks, and these are heartbreaking. But we have many listeners that have this same scenario, and I hope and pray not, but it's life. Dean, I've got a 3.25% rate that you financed in 20 with me. I've got $60,000 of credit card debt today. Mm. And you know what the solution should be?
Home equity.
Or refinance.
Cut up the credit cards.
Or refinance. I mean, seriously. Mm-hmm. Because the amount of interest they're paying on that $60,000 in credit card debt at 25-30%, think about it. And outside of someone passing away and you inheriting money, Becky, how long is it going to take you to pay off $60,000?
Do you forget that the Belmont Stakes is today? I had a
gentleman that had $110,000. This is a month ago in credit card debt.
Wow!
With $150,000 worth of equity in his home.
Yeah.
What should he do?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, Mark, he's in that 3.25% environment. But Dean, I've got a great rate. I understand, but look at your whole outlay, your whole picture, your whole budget. You got to shuffle because you'll never pay off $110,000.
Coming from a financial peace point of view, mm-hmm. That you first have to learn to live without your credit cards.
Right.
Because you're not going to be doing yourself any favors refinancing to pay off your credit card if you continue to charge on your credit cards.
Right.
You're going to be in the same shape again. And what if property prices go down?
Agreed.
Then you're just totally underwater. It's discipline, just exactly like you said. You have to be disciplined.
Well, or go to the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah, or go to Remington and go to Remington Park and place your bet on the Belmont, right?
Yeah. Dean, I want to go back to one of the myths I think we brought up, but we didn't really dive into, which is the myth of I want to wait for prices to drop, the housing prices to drop.
And, property prices have dropped in years past. When we had the oil bust here in Oklahoma in the mid-80s, I mean, some of our houses went to half price. And that's hard when you're carrying a mortgage on them,
right?
Right. And then in 2008, we kind of had the same thing.
Yeah. Some people have tried to compare what's going to happen now to 08. And 08, guys, to me was...
It was a blip.
It was a mortgage lending debacle that put people in a bad spot because the focus was, you know, if you can read, you should own a home. Well, I mean, but there were people doing 100% financing with a 500 credit score.
Hey, they were doing 106% financing.
Yeah, I mean, Becky, with bad credit.
Yeah.
And so that was the root of the problem to what happened in 08.
I've heard of some people doing stupid stuff like that, some lenders.
Things run in cycles, and it'll come back, and that stupidity.
Yeah.
It runs in cycles.
When it comes to fiscal things, I tend to be extremely conservative.
Agree.
Extremely conservative on fiscal matters. I mean, you just have to discipline yourself.
But Mark, I don't think, not unless my concern on the flip side of that is should rates fall, I'm afraid values are going to keep on going up.
Right.
And I say that, I love everyone's home appreciating, but I don't want Oklahoma, which historically has not been a ramp-up value state, to get too expensive.
Yeah. And when I look at the statistics from, like, so we just got through the month of May, and the real estate statistics kind of go month by month, and they look at the previous month. So the previous month, we had 3,334 new listings come on, which is about 1,000 more than what occurred in the previous year, but is not a huge number. Like, that is not a, like, all of a sudden we have this massive number on. Same thing with month supply. We're at 3.2 months supply. So it means if nothing else was built, nothing else goes on the market, it takes just over 3 months to
sell what's there.
Sell what's there. Neutral market is what, Becky?
About 6 months.
Yeah. So we still have more buyers out there than sellers. And there's nothing that looks like that's going to change dramatically quickly unless there's something that happens that we can't see.
Well, and it's time for us to take a break, but I wanted to remind everybody that it's windy today. It is very windy today. Now, yesterday it wasn't very windy at all, but when you have wind, it's just like having hail. So if you have not called Robbins Roofing to come look at your roof, it is going to be very important that you do that. Just call them. They'll come tell you if you've got any wind or hail damage and help you with an insurance claim if you do.
You can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on Becky's favorites. You'll see Robbins Roofing right there, right alongside SWBC Mortgage, right at the top. We'll be right back with more right here on Oklahoma Real Estate On The Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate On The Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the southwest corner of 122nd and Penn on 63rd, just west of Meridian, at 505 East Main Street in Yukon, and on May Avenue, just north of Hefner Road.
We ate at Casa Perico this week, didn't
we, Mark? We did. We had a great lunch there.
We did, and they leave us alone so that we can talk. We had important talking to do. So,
Enchilada de Rajas.
Yes.
Which, for my Spanish speakers out there, I'm very sorry for the way I pronounce that.
Yeah, there you go. But it's delicious.
It is delicious.
Yeah. Our smoking hot deal went on the market last night, and we've got a few pictures up, but not our virtual tour yet. But it is, I don't know, we may have our virtual tour. I think we do. But anyway, it's in the Skyview Terrace edition in Moore. And that would be Moore Schools, of course, South Moore High School. So this is 609 Northwest 19th Street in Moore. It is a nice three-bedroom, two-bathroom, two-car garage house. It's got the cutest little building in the back, and it's got a storm cellar. Good thing to have in Moore. And it's $203,000. So call our office today, if you want to see that. Mark can go show. Can you go show it today,
I
Mark?
I can go show it today.
And tomorrow, where will you be?
I will be in Yukon area on Savage Road. It's a beautiful home on a kind of a private drive there. Nice community.
Yes, it is. I think it's one. I'm going to have to remember what our Savage Road address is, but it is near Hefner Road and Cemetery Road. And it's an acreage, 5 acres, with a very beautiful home on it. So go see Mark tomorrow. You'll be there.
I'll be there 2 to 4.
2 to 4.
Yep. And you want to take a look at any of those, you can go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings, and you'll see it right there. You can call the office at 405-722-3232.
We've had that number a long time, 722-3232. So that's our smoking hot deal, brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, where you probably should be eating today.
It's a good weekend for it.
So, okay, Dean, we are still talking about myths. Can you think of another myth?
You know, this comes up, and I think it's generational. Go back to when we had the foreclosure activity in the 80s.
Oh, well.
Okay? Remember that?
I do remember that.
And when the term, you know, I want to buy a property that's been foreclosed.
Oh, yeah. It's a bargain if you buy a foreclosure.
Well, but and back then, homes were move-in ready. You remember back in the 80s when you came across, we bought one. But homes were, they were move-in ready. And you could drive down a street and go, there's one. And they were move-in ready. So the kids that come in today who say, Mom and Dad said, I need to buy a foreclosed property. It's a different dynamic today because those homes are not move-in ready.
Well, and here's the thing with foreclosure. Let me bust that myth really big, okay? On a foreclosed property, it kind of stands to reason that before someone stops making their payment on a property, they're going to stop maintaining it.
Mm-hmm.
They're short on money, so if they need to fix a couple of shingles, they don't have the money to do that. Right? So a foreclosure is sometimes not your best buy.
I agree.
Oftentimes not your best buy. I'll tell you what your best buy is usually, and that is a house that's been owned by the same people for a long time. And it may be cosmetically outdated, but extremely well maintained. And you get that with baby boomer and a little bit older. Person. So someone in their, say, 70s or 80s that are selling a house typically have maintained it extremely well.
Great point.
And if it's been well maintained, I mean, you can take the wallpaper off. Mm-hmm. You can change out that violet-colored toilet for a white one. but you would get good bones to a house, right?
Totally agree.
So that's with foreclosed properties. Whereas you can get a good deal, sometimes, usually, it's not the best deal because people haven't serviced the heating and air conditioning units. They haven't updated the sewer line. There's a lot of things that have not been done to that property that probably you could find in another house down the road in the same neighborhood.
And or they take down the ceiling fans. They take out the washing machine or the dishwasher. I mean, people do things that...
Weird things. We had a house in our previous neighborhood, which was Cobblestone Manor, 122nd Council area. And someone got foreclosed on, and they were so mad about it. This guy took out bathtubs and all the faucets, and they were very high-end, and he probably paid a lot extra for those, so he wanted to take them with him. I mean, on something like that, the mortgage companies need to start prosecuting. talk to the DA. Prosecute these people because they're stealing things that are supposed to be left with the home that you have a mortgage on.
Right.
But, yeah, they're often not complete, the foreclosed homes.
Which makes our financing piece a challenge if we can do it at all. I mean, it may turn into a renovation loan, or it may be the one where I direct them to their community bank to do a cash deal or a privately financed situation because the property does not meet lender requirements, FHA requirements, VA requirements for us to finance that home.
Watertight and safe.
Mm-hmm.
Major systems working as they are intended to work. Those are the things the mortgage company looks at.
Safety and soundness, mechanical, electrical, plumbing.
Yeah, this week we got a list of things on a property that we've got. It's actually our listing, right, that had the big list of things that needed to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the seller doesn't want to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. We managed to negotiate where the buyer pays for all that up front.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And they're going to split it at closing. The seller will give a seller concession at closing for half of that. It doesn't increase the price of the house for those things to be repaired, because when an appraiser does an appraisal, they do the appraisal as repaired if they have repairs listed.
Right.
So it's not going to increase the value at all. So,
great point.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm bragging. I felt like I gave myself a gold star on that negotiation.
Yeah, very good. That was your negotiation.
That was my negotiation.
And you did.
Well done, Mark. Because that's the difference of you. Yeah. You know, compared to a lot, because there's a solution to it. It's not a cookie cutter. It's going to make you think.
You get into these situations where you get down where the seller wants to sell, the buyer wants to buy, and then there's a hurdle that gets put in by someone that's not at the property. Either typically it's an underwriter or it's a lending requirement, appraisal requirement.
To be fair, the appraiser was at the property that recommended these repairs, right?
Right.
Okay, guys, our time's up. And want to remind you that the Oklahoma Senior Follies is tonight at 7 o'clock and tomorrow at 3 o'clock at Mitchell Hall on the OCU campus. Not OCU, UCO campus in Edmond, right?
Central State
University.
Okay. And one of the people that will be singing a song tonight is Mr. Jim Ivins. So, Jim, sing us out.
Be a good day. May the Lord always watch over you, and may all of your hopes turn to wishes, and may all of your wishes come true.